Last year, the Iowa Board of Regents adopted a new funding model. If enacted, it could dramatically change the way higher education is financed. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. The new plan would go into effect in July. It bases 60% of the funding allocation on the enrollment of in-state students. This hour, we discuss the new funding model with the president of the Board of Regents, Bruce Rastetter, Iowa lawmakers Cecil Dolichek and Brian Shanejohn, and our own State House correspondent, Joyce Russell. That's all coming up this hour. First, a look at the news from NPR. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last year, the Iowa Board of Regents adopted a new funding model that, if enacted by our legislature, could dramatically change the way higher education is funded in the state. The plan would go into effect in July and bases 60% of funding, the funding allocation, on the enrollment of in-state students. There are some other parts of this, of course, this new model. But that's a big part of it. This hour, we want to discuss the new funding model with a number of lawmakers that will come up later in the program, but also with the president of the Board of Regents, who joins us now. Bruce Rastetter is with us. He's at the law library at the state capitol. Welcome to you, Bruce Rastetter.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio's State House correspondent, is there with Bruce Rastetter. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Ben.
Let's talk about it. So we're all on the same page here. Get up to speed on this new funding model, Bruce Rastetter. Why do we need a new funding model? Make the case and put it in some context, if you would.
Well, I think the context that the board looked at is that for over 70 years, the board has not visited how it distributes its state appropriations dollars. So ever since I became a regent, which was about 4 years ago, the board had been talking about that we needed to look at that. So actually about 2 years ago, this month, we began and appointed a task force that met in public over a 15-month period of time that brought in other experts from across the country to look at how they distribute their funding, and that revolves around a performance funding model. And one of the notes for your audience is that we are the 30th state to adopt performance funding. So it isn't a new idea. We're not leading edge. Arguably, you could say we should have looked at this earlier. And I think the board was thoughtful in how it looked at it. And as often as you noted as well, they talk about 60% of the funds following in-state students, but 40% of the funds follow direct matrices that are laid out. So it's very clear to the legislature and the stakeholders, if they fund the regents in certain ways, what our priorities are. So I think as we think about it and as we've talked to legislatures, you know, it really makes sense to have the small portion of the total regent system is a $5 billion a year system. And what we're talking about is state appropriations of 500 and some million dollars tracking the way I just described.
The performance funding model, it refers to, if I'm interpreting what you say correctly, the 40% that I didn't refer to, 60% based on allocation of, based on in-state students, the 40%, 15% according to my notes, based on progress and attainment, 10% for access, 5% for sponsored research, 5% weighted for graduate and professional students, and 5% for whatever the regents select as metrics there. So that's what you were preferring. And so this is a model based on roughly on those 30 other states you mentioned?
Well, there's a variety of different models in other states. For instance, in the Florida system, 100% of their state allocation is based on in-state students. And then overlaid with performance funding, such as our 40%. So what we tried to do is hit a fair compromise between the three universities in saying that part of the performance funding is indeed having state taxpayer dollars follow in-state students. The other part is for issues that are extremely important, like progress to degree and degree attainment. So if you actually start at one of the universities, it's really important to finish, because we know that if someone finishes and gets a degree, it makes a big difference in their life, and their earning power makes a big difference in the state. And so we want to make sure the universities are focused on offering freshman classes to freshmen, sophomore classes, et cetera, to sophomores, so that once they start, they graduate.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Rastetter. Joyce Russell, please do jump in.
Yeah, Mr. Rastetter, why is it important to focus so much on having in-state students?
Well, I think at the end of the day, Joyce, if you think about it, we have three public universities in Iowa, and they're owned by the taxpayers of Iowa. And what we're talking about is state taxpayer dollars following in-state students, because we know that the tuition that in-state students pay doesn't pay for their full cost of the education. Whereas we also know that we're very competitive on our out-of-state tuition, which is $16,000 a year compared to $8,000 in-state. So it's really critical that if we are going to have a couple of the universities educate a large number of Iowans, that they be fairly funded in a funding model that revolves around state taxpayer dollars.
Well, a follow-up might be, some people are criticizing this plan because you're actually going to lose tuition dollars, because these, as you just said, these out-of-state students pay more. And if you shift that to in-state students, you're going to be getting less tuition money, right?
Well, and actually that's one of the rumors about the performance-based funding that isn't true. And in December, we had President Mason give us an update that not only are their in-state numbers up about 9% on applicants and acceptance, their out-of-state numbers are up 6.5% too, because the campus is now being rebuilt. So they're actually increasing out-of-state students as well. And no one is saying under this model that one shouldn't recruit out-of-state students. Certainly Iowa State, their engineering area in particular, has a great number of out-of-state students, and we want to continue to welcome that. But also we want to be able to have the University of Northern Iowa, that has 92% in-state students, who has historically been underfunded and had a financial model that is unstable. We want to make sure they're stable, and we want to make sure that Iowa State at 20,000 in-state students has the resources to make sure that they don't decline in education. So I think all that's working together, but no one is saying that we shouldn't recruit out of state, because we certainly are continuing to do that.
Is that sustainable in the long run? You say we're going to, U of I, for example, is going to increase its in-state students to be more competitive with the money. At the same time, they're going to keep attracting out-of-state students. Is that sustainable, that kind of increased enrollment?
Yeah, let's put that in context. President Mason's plan is to grow the university by 500 students a year. So over the course of, 3-4 years, it's 5,000-6,000 students total. It's 2,000 in a 4-year period, I think, is what exactly her goal is. So it's not a large number of students on a 32,000 campus. Iowa State just 4 years ago was 28,000 and some students. Today they're 35,000 students, and being stretched, to the limit on the resources that they have available.
If I can jump in here, just listening to the two of you, Bruce Rastetter, Joe Bolcom in an editorial to the Des Moines Register said, quote, this new plan would unleash an ill-conceived arms race between our three public universities for a declining number of Iowa high school seniors. And we've seen in our news reports that the universities are reorienting themselves to grab the limited number of Iowa high school graduates. Is it good to increase the competition between the universities in that way? Not to mention the effect that it might have on private colleges and universities, also our community colleges, to increase the competition for those limited number of high school students.
Well, I think first of all, some of the numbers that were missed in that editorial were that there are 5,000 students today that are leaving the state and not going to privates, community college, or the three public universities. So there's 5,000 graduating seniors every year that leave. A portion of those will be captured. Two, you're not seeing an arms race between Iowa State and UNI to attract more students. UNI is doing some new blocking and tackling, as I'd say, with their president going out and an initiative by their faculty. But Iowa State is not advertising more. in this competition. The University of Iowa is trying to recruit some additional Iowa students, and I would suggest they should. But in terms of private colleges and universities, we know that the kids go there for a different reason than they do the large publics. And the state has a $50 million, and I think the governor proposed a $5 million extra scholarship program for private colleges and universities that the public universities don't have. So those privates will still be able to compete. And the community college system, actually the articulation agreements have been tightened between the three publics. So I think you'll see transfers, and one of our priorities on performance-based funding is transfers from community colleges. So the universities will continue to work closely with the community college system.
Bruce Rastetter is with us of the Board of Regents. He's president of the Iowa Board of Regents, and along with Joyce Russell at the Law Library at the University, at our state capitol, talking about a new funding model proposed, and if enacted, it could dramatically change the way higher education is funded in the state. 60% of the funding allocation based on the enrollment of in-state students. As a part of this proposal, it includes $12 million to ease this transition for the University of Iowa. It's clear the University of Iowa, with a quick transition, this means $12 million loss to the University of Iowa because of this funding model difference. What happens if the legislature does not approve that transition money for the University of Iowa?
I think that's a critical aspect that we've asked the legislature for. The governor included $4 million in his budget as part of the performance funding for the University of Iowa. We have met with both the House and continue to encourage both the House and the Senate to fill the full $12.9 million. And so we have high expectations that will be done.
Mm-hmm. And if not?
If not, we will revisit how the University of Iowa works within that system. But by all accounts, I've heard that as we look at performance funding, we'll continue to focus on the $12 million rather than speculate as to today what we do if we don't receive that funding.
I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that. Even if the legislature does come through with this $12 million, that would be like the first step in implementing this plan. But then next year, are you going to continue to ask for more money in rather than actually redistribute funds? Or give us an idea of what next year is going to look like, if you can.
First of all, next year, the great part about this funding model is it's going to be open and transparent to everyone. So for the first time, rather than a base plus funding that didn't have a lot of common sense around it, we will have a performance matrix that we can show the legislature exactly how the dollars were spent and what the net result was. So next year, I would expect that number to be much different because of both recruiting by the University of Iowa, and they are very good in certain areas of progress to degree and degree attainment. Mm-hmm. UNI needs to improve on their progress to degree and number of degrees that they offer once kids start, which is an important part of student debt increasing when you don't graduate or graduate on time. So I think, you know, we'll take a look at it next year. And we have said that unlike previous boards that took 70 years to look at this, we're going to look at it every year. And the legislature will see these numbers every single year.
So what we might see during the budget process next year might be that the regents, as they put in their budget requests, those requests for the three universities, instead of just a percentage increase, you're going to actually be saying, this is what Iowa should get, this is what ISU should get, and this is what you and I should get, and it'll look a lot different than it looks now?
No, I think it'll look very similar to how we've approached the budget this year on performance funding. But there will be obviously a number of, beyond just nuances, because the enrollment will change, the performance matrices will have different weighted categories to each university as to how they perform under those numbers. So we'll just come back and talk about it then. But to speculate today on what that number will be next year, you know, I think that would be foolish on our part and not fiduciary until waiting to see what those numbers look like.
Right. I'm not asking you to give me numbers. I'm just saying, will your budget request be formatted differently next year, where you actually put in we want this much increase for U of I, this much increase for Iowa State, and this much for UNI.
No, if the legislature passes performance funding and with the backfill of the University of Iowa, then next year our performance funding, our request on appropriation will reflect the performance funding matrices that you have in front of you. And then with that, whatever increase that we believe is necessary for the universities to remain healthy, like what we have this year on the 1.75% increase.
Mm-hmm. So you won't actually, will you at any point be asking for the authority to transfer money around yourself without the legislature appropriating it in the way you think it should be appropriated?
You know, we have not asked for that. In this year's performance funding model, there was a 5% that would have been at the region's discretion. And what we did is just divide that over all the other categories. We do believe that it's important that there be some discretionary dollars. So that a couple of years ago, when you and I had a budget challenge and we had to ask the legislature for a special $2 million, that there weren't a lot of options for us or for you and I by the regions not having any dollars that they could transfer.
And so that's what this means on the thing, 5% for region selected metrics. That's, you want that 5%, so you will have some authority to move it around.
Yes, but this year what we told the legislature is in our funding request is that would be divided amongst all the categories, that there would not be a category for regions funding.
Bruce Rastetter, I wanted to go back to something that you mentioned just a few minutes ago. You talked about it taking 70 years to talk about this and revise the model, and it hasn't been done. And you said, use the words, not a lot of common sense in the previous model. What about the current model? It's not the previous model yet. It's the current model. What about the current model in particular doesn't make a lot of common sense that we have lived with for 70 years. I'm just surprised by that remark. Iowans are known for having a lot of common sense, and you're saying something has been around that doesn't have a lot of common sense. What is it?
Well, I think at the beginning it made a lot of sense, and for decades it did, because each one of the universities had about 85 to 90% in-state students. So University of Iowa, Iowa State, UNI. And it was about 15 years ago that those numbers started changing dramatically. So the previous funding model, because each had the same percentage of in-state students, was divided 40-40-20. 40% University of Iowa, 40% Iowa State, 20% UNI, based upon student populations. That percentage of state appropriations changed from 40-40-20 actually to 47% University of Iowa, 37% Iowa State, and 17% UNI. So as you think about that change that wasn't adapted to, that UNI still is at 92% in-state students. Iowa State is at 56%, but 20,000 in-state students. And the University of Iowa went to 48% in-state and about 12,000 in-state students. So those numbers got out of whack that weren't revisited over the last couple of decades. So in terms of common sense, I think that what didn't change in the region's funding with the legislature is just a base approach. So you got a base and you got a percent increase irrespective of any performance matrix. Mm-hmm. And so what we said is because they're public universities and most states have state money that follows in-state students, it naturally made sense to have part of that state money follow those students because the cost of educating them is higher than the tuition that's being charged. So those two universities that have a large percentage of in-state students were technically being penalized. So what we want to make sure of is that we have a system that's fair to all three. Mm-hmm. But what the regents are responsible
for. But couldn't one also say that you're penalizing, for instance, the University of Iowa, which in the meantime has a large international presence out of state, but also international students coming to the University of Iowa, not only good for funding because they pay a lot more tuition and they subsidize in-state students, but they change the quality of the university, don't they, Bruce Rastetter? They make it an international, a worldly university, which is something we really want to have in our universities, don't we? Doesn't this new model really discourage the quality of being international and worldly, especially at the University of Iowa?
You know, it doesn't. Because
how?
the regents are not saying not to recruit.
But you're encouraging, based on the funding model, to gather in-state students. That's where the emphasis is.
Yeah, but what you're totally missing is that even if this model went into full effect, we're talking about $50 million on a $2.8 billion budget at the University of Iowa. So we're talking about and that includes a hospital, but we're talking about a $1.6 billion budget that includes $16,000 a year out-of-state tuition from the very students that you mentioned. So we want to make sure, and the University of Iowa numbers that I shared earlier show that it will still remain a national university, a world university. Their out-of-state numbers are up for next fall, and their international numbers are up. So the board certainly hasn't changed any of those priorities in this state appropriation funding model.
I'm trying to understand this. You de-emphasize international students by increasing the value of in-state students. You're a businessman, doesn't that? And universities operate as businesses to a certain extent. They are going to go for the dollars to make sure their bottom line works out as well.
Well, I think if you look at their business model, and if you could look at it and say, if we lost a little bit of state funding, but we still recruited students that paid 2x the tuition out of state, you would still continue to do that, which is what they're continuing to do, which we support.
And Mr. Rastetter, we're going to be bringing the legislators on in the second half hour. So I'd like to clarify, is there actually going to be a bill where they say, yes, we're passing this, we agree with this funding model, or will the approval just come in the appropriations process?
I think there will actually be a bill that shows where the dollars are being distributed to.
Okay. And this 40-40-20 from a few years back, I can imagine, of course I wasn't around then, but I can imagine how that looked really fair, you know, 40 for ISU, 40 for UNI, 20 for a smaller institution. But how is it that those numbers got out of line? They're now 46, 36, and 17. How did that happen?
Yeah, I think what happened over time, and it's complicated to look back each year as to how that happened, but I think there were some special purpose units at the University of Iowa that were funded during some of those years that increased their base appropriations. So there was some of that went on that changed that dynamics.
When we come back, we're going to talk with lawmakers here, but let's touch on the fact that the legislature has to approve this. Talk a little bit more about that. What are your expectations there? Because there has been significant pushback from some lawmakers, and we'll hear that in our second half hour. Do you think this will easily gain approval from the legislature?
Well, I'm not sure that anything is easy to gain approval from the legislature on. We've seen that in past appropriations. I know one thing we really appreciate, the support that we had from both the House and the Senate the last 2 years that allowed us to freeze tuition for the first time in 30 years, 2 years in a row, on in-state students. So that is a critical aspect of kind of realigning and balancing state support with tuition that parents and students pay. So we've had a couple of good sessions. Obviously, this is an important change. And we have spent time with both the governor, the House, and the Senate. We would expect that there would be more questions asked. We appreciate the governor's support on this, and we're hopeful that both the House and the Senate will support it. And the backfill for the University of Iowa to give them time is extremely critical. Okay. And so we've had the support of higher education in the last couple of years, and I think the board has made good on its promise to freeze tuition if we receive certain funding. So we're looking forward to this discussion in the next couple
of
months.
So pleased to have with us the president of the Board of Regents, Bruce Rastetter, with us this hour as we talk about a proposed new funding model for Iowa's public universities. Bruce Rastetter will be with us in the second half hour after we take a short break. Also, lawmakers will join us. Cecil Dolacek, a Republican, will join us, as well as State Senator Brian Shanejohn, and they will weigh in from the legislative side of the equation here as we talk about this new model for funding. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio.
Support comes from the family.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're talking about the State Board of Regents' new proposal, a new model for funding the public universities this hour. It could dramatically change the way higher education is funded in this state, and it's something that has really not been revised for many, many decades. The new plan which would go into effect if approved by the Iowa legislature, would base 60% of funding allocation on the enrollment of in-state students. The other 40%, some would be based on performance funding for the universities. And joining us for the entire hour, we're pleased to have the president of the Board of Regents, Bruce Rastetter, with us, along with Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell, our State House correspondent there at the Law Library in our state's capital. Also now joining us, we have two legislators, one from either party. Brian Shanejohn is with us, a state senator and vice chair of the Education Committee, chair of the Education Budget Subcommittee. Senator Shanejohn, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben.
Cecil Dolchak is with us as well, a Republican representative from Iowa's 24th House District, chair of the House Education Budget. Cecil Dolchak, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Ben. Glad to be here.
Representative Dolchak, give us your reaction to this and the feeling in your caucus about this new funding model for the universities.
Well, I think the feeling in my caucus has been very positive. It's something that not only my caucus, but many of my constituents across the state have been clamoring for quite some time. State taxpayer dollars collected from their back pockets being used to help support students who weren't in state. And they felt that this was something that needed to be looked at, hadn't been looked at for quite some time, as President Rastetter had indicated. And they feel that the impetus behind the performance-based model was needed, and for the most part have been very supportive of it. We're looking at the matrix that's put in place and 60% on enrollment and some of the other factors for the 40%. Whether there could be some tweaks in those, people could talk one way or the other, but for the most part, my caucus at this point in time seems to be very supportive of the performance-based funding model.
Just to make sure I understand this, you're saying that taxpayers' money in Iowa is going to pay for students attending our universities that are coming from out of state. But isn't it true that out-of-state students pay a higher tuition and, in fact, pay more than their education it costs and, in fact, subsidize in-state students?
That's true. I was talking about the in-state students and the formulas that are in place to go to the Regents Universities, being UNI and Iowa State University, having a more proportionate share of in-state students. They felt that their taxpayer dollars should go to support the in-state students who were going to those universities. The prior model did not do that.
Representative Dolchak, I'm surprised to hear you say that you've heard people clamoring for this. Until this came up, I've been doing news in the state for a number of years. I didn't know that this was the funding model and that it had gotten out of whack. I'm kind of surprised that a normal constituent would be up on that and say, even know that University of Iowa was getting more money than Iowa State University.
Well, I've had several individuals, like say, from not only in my district but across the state that have talked about tuition. I think Representative Racker kind of started this conversation quite some time ago about the funding model and how in-state students were not being treated the same if they went to one institution as opposed to the other, and the whole instance of, you know, what their bill included and how that needed to be more transparent. I think part of that whole scenario has been on the table, and looking at this and the performance-based model kind of started the conversations at that time, and that's probably been, 4 to 5 years ago now.
State Senator Shanejohn, let's get your view and the feeling that you're getting from your Democratic caucus there in the state Senate.
I think on the Senate side, I'm hearing some reservations, especially from the community colleges and the private colleges. I think they are concerned that this performance-based model may spark an adversarial atmosphere that we don't want to see. I think each of our state universities has a purpose and a mission, and they are distinctly different. And the last thing that I want to see is a war for students in the state of Iowa. And if you look at the demographics, I think this is where I'm concerned, at least in our caucus, is we're looking at 2003, 37,549 students graduated, 33,932 this fall, projected to be 34,2 in 2020. So where are we going to get the 5,000 students from? And should efforts perhaps be made in additional recruiting out of state. And another concern that I have, to avoid a reduction in the University of Iowa's FY 2016 state appropriation, the board is asking that each university receive a 1.75 increase on the FY 2015 appropriation, and that's in the governor's budget, and that the General Assembly provide an additional $12.9 million in new funding to ISU and UNI to begin to implement the implementation of the PBF formula. Assuming all the metrics remain unchanged in future years, it's going to take an annual appropriation of similar size in FY 17 and 18 to fully implement the formula. Mm. Now in the governor's budget, performance-based pay, bottom line, $4 million.
So
where
you're saying,
are we going to come up with this funding?
Bruce Rastetter, perhaps you can answer that question.
Yeah, I think one of the things that that we all know, it's a legislative process and it's a negotiation as it goes along. And the governor included $4 million. We asked him for more, and when he approved the $4 million, I said thank you, but we'll be lobbying the legislature for the full $12.9 million. So we'll continue to do that. And I think back to it. One of the recognitions that the legislature would have in approving the $12.9 million is that, in particular, we've had historic underfunding following in-state students, you know, for over a decade, in particular at the University of Northern Iowa with their annual financial budget problem. So what we're saying is also asking is that we want to fix that. But I don't believe that it will take that large of increase each year because the numbers will change each year on this percentage.
Senator Shane John, you mentioned had a number of reservations you mentioned there. I'm wondering, just so we understand this, when the legislature votes on this in each of the houses, is this an up or down vote, or do you understand that you would have some ability to change this line by line, tweak it, find a compromise that you and your GOP colleagues can be happy with?
Oh, absolutely. It's early, and we work across the aisle to find common ground in these budgets. But this budget year is particularly difficult. We do not. We have huge amounts of reserves that are committed in property tax rebates, refunds. We're receiving some pretty large bills in Medicaid increase, $200 million. We've also have some.
I guess I'm not talking about
issues.
I guess I'm not talking about the overall state budget. I'm talking about this new funding model. Do you
right,
have the ability to change it line by line to come up with something different than what the Board of Regents has put forward?
Certainly.
Okay.
And nobody is arguing here that Northern Iowa is not on the short end. I want to make that perfectly clear. Northern Iowa needs help. They've traditionally been underfunded. Their budget is stressed. So we need to focus on that. But perhaps there's two things here. Perhaps there's the formula, the performance-based formula that needs to be discussed. And then another separate issue, equitable funding. So this could, at the end of the day, come out as maybe a, and I'm, you know, thinking out loud here, maybe we need to bring the private colleges and universities and community colleges to the table with the Board of Regents in a task force to discuss causes and consequences of this funding model before we walk into it, so we have all the information that we need, and then in the meantime address the funding issue over this year's budget or the ensuing years, so we can come to a more equitable base for Northern Iowa. So there are a lot of questions here from everyone in the caucus that we're not going to solve right here this morning or this afternoon. But at this point in time, there are a lot of questions from our caucus.
So Senator Shane John, are you saying that it's going to be hard to come up with that $12
million? Within the constraints that we have here, and this is the governor's recommendation, yes, it is.
Okay.
If you just joined us, we're joined by several guests from the Law Library at the State House in our state's capital. Joyce Russell is there, along with Bruce Rastetter, President of the Board of Regents, State Senator Brian Shane John, Democratic senator, also Republican Representative Cecil Dolacek, and we're talking about a new funding model that was adopted by the Board of Regents, yet to be passed by the Iowa legislature, the impact that would have on funding at the three universities, the fallout there. Let's talk a little bit about the political dimension of this model, because this proposed model certainly does have a political dimension to it. State Representative Dave Jacoby is a Democrat from Coralville. He's criticized this proposal, saying it penalizes the University of Iowa. I want to get a reaction to some words he had to say about it. The current plan would reallocate $47 million from the University of Iowa, split it 50-50 between the University of Northern Iowa and Iowa State University. And Representative Jacoby says by removing some funding, the board is making a political statement.
Johnson County historically has always voted Democrat. I think there's a different vision what a university should provide in terms of training and liberal arts education. And I also think that, quite frankly, they're looking at making changes at the university that makes it a more conservative university as opposed to a liberal think tank.
Okay, so react to that. Bruce Rastetter, are there politics here along the lines that Representative Jacoby described?
You know, first of all, I'm a University of Iowa graduate. And I think I've been also generous to the University of Iowa on personal gifts. And so I, for one, am not mixing politics, and I've never heard that on the board. And I think it's a great public university, not a think tank. And so I would suggest that the board is, again, looking at all three. And oftentimes we talk about that it's a UNI historical funding problem. But Iowa State, with now over 20,000 in-state students, will soon not only have its campus stretched because of limits on resources, but the quality of that education, if not properly funded, will decline. And so we've tried to have very honest, open discussions on that. And we also know that Sally Mason, the president of the University of Iowa, has signed up for this because she believes the University of Iowa can compete. And they are, both in in-state, out-of-state, and international students. And so while we welcome legislative discussion on this, one of the cautions that I would throw up is that if you and I had their way in this funding model, it would be 70 to 75% in-state. If Iowa had their way, it would be significantly south of 50%. And I think what the board came up with is a fair compromise on the three that allows adjustment to the University of Iowa budget to meet their ability long-term. And so I think it's a thoughtful process. And Joyce, you mentioned about constituents not knowing about it. You know, I, like Cecil, have heard for 2 years now constituents knowing about it because we had a very open process that lasted a very long time in public meetings with a lot of discussion.
Knowing about after the regents had raised it, though, knowing about it, not knowing about it prior to that.
But I think prior to that, there's always been discussion about the challenges with UNI's budget and the issue that they educate 92.5% Iowans, of which 10 years later, 75% of them are still in state, which is a really good thing. And also that Iowa State's in-state population has been growing beyond the funding that they've received from the legislature, which has created issues. So I think everyone has known those things. Maybe people just always haven't wanted to talk about them. But this board has decided it's extremely important to face issues. And I think, you know, the good news is with Cecil and Senator John here, we're getting to have a discussion around it. Because the net result is going to be a much better funding model, what we end up with, than what we had previously, which is important.
Mr. Rastetter, that sentiment is out there that somehow this is a political attack on the University of Iowa, that University of Iowa is there in Johnson County, as Representative Jacoby just said. So the recent fundraising reports just came out for the last round of elections, and you came out on top for individual contributions, primarily to Republican candidates. You're certainly not the first Regents president who was a significant contributor to campaigns, but I just wonder if that sort of feeds into that suspicion that we just heard from Dave Jacoby, or even more, that that could help impede the progress of this
plan. I think if you look at it in the last 2 years, and it's often written about what you said, but I think because of that relationship with the governor and the ability to encourage him to support the public universities, we've stopped the funding losses to the public universities of having that audience. So 2 years ago, we received a 2.6% increase in FROES tuition for all three. Last year, we received a 4% increase, and then both guys sitting in this room were extremely helpful with that, and we froze tuition. And we're saying that we'll do the same this year with the 175. So I think that whole relationship hasn't been about politics, because the University of Iowa has received that same support. And we also receive funding on three buildings between the governor and the legislature the last 3 years that are critical. The pharmacy building at U of I, the bioscience building at Iowa State, and the Schindler Hall at UNI. So those three public universities gained over $250 million of critical buildings that were much needed. So this idea of politics, I view the University of Iowa as the University of Iowa, not the University of Johnson County.
Let me have you react, if I could, Bruce Rastetter, to another comment made by Representative Dave Jacoby, Democrat from Coralville, in reaction to these proposed funding changes that have been passed by the Board of Regents and are being discussed in the legislature. Jacoby is now proposing a bill to elect members to the Board of Regents rather than have them be appointed. Let's listen to what he had to say about that.
I think the current board is the deepest in politics that I've ever seen. I think they're trying to penalize the University of Iowa. But in also doing so, I believe they're penalizing Iowa State and UNI. I think what we're going to have to do is hopefully my bill or proposal will at least bring back the discussion of discussing what the role of the Board of Regents is in relation to the legislature.
Those are pretty heavy charges. Representative Jacoby has been around for quite a while. The deepest in politics I have ever seen, President Rastetter.
Well, I think the system works well. I think when you look at other states that have elected regents, and in particular Nebraska, you engage more politics into the board. The regents naturally have a political role because we have to ask the legislature for funding. And one of the things that you've seen this board do over the last 3 years that I'm sure Representative Jacoby would recognize is how much more open and transparent this board is than previous boards. Any request that the legislature receives, asks us for, or the State House, we have said that we want the board office and the universities to turn those requests around as quickly as possible. And so we have tried to be much more open and transparent than any other board. And it's back to the year before I became a regent. We had a 10% across the board cut at the universities. So if we want to talk about punishing the universities at that point in time, that certainly happened. And I think the relationship with the legislature has been a constructive one. It will continue to be, and this board will continue to respond to any and all requests so that for as much as possible, we take politics out of it. But at the end of the day, we have to ask the governor and the legislature to support these universities because they are indeed public universities supported by the taxpayers.
Mr. Rastetter, you seem to be making the point before when I asked you about the contributions that, you know, you gave significant contributions to Governor Branstad. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem to be making the point that Governor Branstad in the governor's office has been good for the region's universities. Is that the point that you're making?
Well, I think one of the points I'm making is that he listens. And certainly not saying because I gave dollars that he listens better, but, you know, we're good friends. And I've encouraged him to support the public universities. And I think that's a good thing. And he's done that with K-12. He's doing that with the public universities. Is it this year as dynamic as what I'd like it to be? No. But are we going to continue to work through the legislative process? Yes. So I think that you've had a number of regents, you know, whether it was Michael Gardner, David Miles, Marvin Pomerantz, their president of the regents, that all gave political dollars. And just because you sign up as a regent doesn't mean you can't still have a personal opinion and view on that. And I try to, when I come here, and I think Senator Gronstall knows this, I try to lobby and ask the Senate, and the Senate Democrats have been great and supportive of the regents, and you've seen us work well with them as well.
As we finish up here, we've got just a minute left. I wonder if we can project this a year from now. What we'll be talking about if this goes through, the new model will be in place. President Rastetter, do you think all the hubbub, the controversy surrounding it, will have faded?
I think it will. I think that sometimes the approach that of worry and concern of any new funding model will raises it at the beginning. You have other factions, if you've mentioned, that get funding from the state, that are actually getting increased funding, both the privates and the community colleges are under the governor's budgets. So I would suggest that a year from now, we'll look at this and say, gee, we actually have a funding model that people can track where the dollars go.
Okay, thank you very much.
For the first time.
It's all the time we have. Thank you very much. President of the Board of Regents, Bruce Rastetter, State Senator Brian Chainjohn, and Representative Cecil Dolacek, Iowa Public Radio's Joyce Russell. Thank you for the interesting conversation. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about vaccination exemptions in the debate on immunization, and we'll have Director of Health Services, State Epidemiologist, rather, Dr. Patricia Quinlisk, will be with us. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Claire Roth. We had help from John Pemble today. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.